time ago. I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 428, February the 15th, 1980, and it's side one of the tape. The voice you just heard on the record, the beginning of the tape, was Don McLean singing a song from his album American Pie, and it's the opening verse of American Pie. I've used it on other tapes before. My age of learning, or my period of innocence, of American political systems ended in 1963 when John Kennedy was assassinated. I call that my age of innocence. I was 40 years old at the time and was really very ignorant of the American political system and how it worked. I mention that because there are a lot of people under 40 who believe their life is half over and can't begin to study political assassinations or organized crime or corruption. But there's a lot of time and energy in you if you want to do it and if you get the spark. And I started my work when I was 40 years old, when Kennedy was assassinated. And since that time, in the pursuit of trying to find out who killed one person, President John Kennedy, you open up a whole Pandora of corruption from the Chief Justice, the White House, the President, international leaders, the police chiefs, the district attorneys, the defense lawyers, the prosecutors, the entire judicial system is exposed for what it is when you get into the subject of the Kennedy assassination. It's a microcosm of the way society is run and manipulated, and his murder was just one of among millions of murders and hundreds of heads of states in order to gain control and power over the peons or the peasants. And those are the people that go to work every day and pay their taxes and say yes. And in the process of studying the Kennedy assassination, as I say, it opened up many avenues. I'm going to be working the next few weeks, of course, I don't know how long it'll take, consistently taking apart the threads and pieces of the Abscam story as it breaks. There are actually three investigations going, and they say they have 60 to 100. So this will be a lifetime job, but in these classifications fall, again, the culprits who not only killed John Kennedy, but who controlled the body of Howard Hughes' empire, and we're behind many of the other incidences that I have studied. So Abscam is not separate from them. It's simply a part of it. It's part of the Watergate story. It's part of the Jonestown story, the Vatican. And in the most simple way that I can do, with 1 hour a week, I'll give you bits and pieces and threads of the stories it breaks. So far, there's the Abscam story, there's the Bri Lab, that's bribery and labor. Abscam has to do with congressmen in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, particularly, and meeting places in New York. New York, Pennsylvania, New York, Washington, D.C., and New Jersey. Bri Lab has to do with Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. But it started off in Beverly Hills, California, and it spreads through Houston and officials in those states of Louisiana, as I say, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas. And then there's the Pendorf examination of a person, so far Alan Dorfman in Chicago, with the Teamsters connections and organized crime. That story is breaking simultaneously with the Las Vegas connections to Senator Howard Cannon, and then that goes on down to Los Angeles, and it makes a full cycle of from the casino mob in New Jersey to the Vegas mob, And it's like the map that you see when you watch the news stories of the globe and the way the weather is blowing or the wind is blowing in circles. You're going to have to interweave all of these breaking. I hope they break more slowly because the FBI says they have 60 or 100 of these. And they are linked to the entire United States corrupt levels at a certain point. They cut off at another point, and there's a war between the organizations and the mobsters. And that I want to go into again and also bring up their links to very important news stories that are taking place now so that you know how to follow those. So we have the Abscam, the Bri Lab, and the Pendorf, those three investigations that are swooping in and cleaning out specific people. Now, what happens when you limit who you're going to target? Those people, for immunity, are going to name other people, and it's going to be like a ping-pong game going back and forth. What you intend to do isn't what you always get. It's like Jimmy Carter saying, we'll put our fleet in the Persian Gulf. So the Soviet Union says, well, I think I'll send a boat there, too. The Soviet Union is a large landmass, but that doesn't mean they don't have atomic submarines and ships. They send a ship, Russia will send a ship. And it's this kind of response that we're going to get with these investigations if certain people who are watergating think that they'll come home clean, those people arrested or up for indictment will name other people, and it will begin to snowball and involve many, many more people than the original intentions. When I use the word war going on, an internal war between, say, the drug market, the power brokers, and the politicians, I mean just that. And in war, you get casualties. I'm going to do at length today to set the groundwork for these investigations, and hopefully next week catch up on a backlog of deaths that are important and related to all these matters. One of the subscribers to these tapes sent me a book by Ladislas Fargo called Burn After Reading. And the introduction of the book, the preface, has a very important statement that pertains to all that is going on. Fargo says that espionage has played a conspicuous part in every war of history. The Second World War, it became larger, known as the Fourth Estate of War. That's when Reinhard Gehlen and the Tsarists from the Soviet Union, when they escaped the Soviet Union, went to Poland and Germany. And these were the teams of the Russian elite that had conducted pogroms and terror and assassination squads. And they set up this complicated spy system with the Germans and the British and the United States and the Italians. And this fourth war, this fourth estate, carries on this war. And this book gives an example in Greece where the casualties in World War II were 73,000 Greeks. But it goes on to say that 23,000 died in conventional warfare, and 50,000 were killed in various surreptitious enterprises. So when I say that hundreds of people are being killed, hundreds of heads of state and private citizens and witnesses, going maybe into thousands, or who can estimate the figure, what we're getting simultaneously with the power structure are the comparison, such as in Greece, where 50,000 were killed surreptitiously, and when you get to the battlefield, the obvious 23,000 killed in conventional warfare. So maybe next week I'll get caught up on many of the deaths, because they're piling up here, and I don't want you to think that I'm forgetting them, but I do want to get into the Abscam story right now. And if I jump around and don't have a main starting point, I do have one, but I'm going to be picking up threads of the past and interrupting myself to bring you important things that are coming to my mind in the Abscam trial. And of course, its breaking at this time is very important, because I've been leading up on the past tapes for the last 2 or 3 months, or say the last 8 years, but particularly the last few months, into stolen art, Vatican connections, stolen stocks and security, deaths of Vatican witnesses to the Sindona trial that's going on in New York City right now, corruption from the drug narcotic traffic that is tangling with our United States agencies and up into the Vatican, the White House, fighting each other at all these different levels. The largest shift in the crime war and the narcotics market that I've mentioned on past tapes took place in 1957. That's when organized crime had a meeting in Italy to decide on how to cut up the earth and flow the traffic into various cities and countries and decide who would be the mob leaders of these areas. There was a meeting in Italy in that year, and there was a meeting up in the Appalachian in 1957 of organized crime, and that was when the decision was made to take Howard Hughes' body completely, and from 57 on, Hughes represents the entire security of the United States through the spy system, satellites, and communication network, was kept in confinement until 1966, where he was taken on a train to Boston. And I've referred to William Taub's book recently. Taub talks about John Rosselli of organized crime and agents of the CIA delivering Hughes' body to Boston. And then the Hughes empire, under really our Justice Department, the top echelons of the justice, moved into Las Vegas to take over the organized crime and set up crime wars between the Italian Jewish mafia so they eventually could swing it to the Irish Catholics in Boston, the police departments, the Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, the Eastern police departments, the Irish Catholic, New York City, run those police. And there's a conflict of payoffs and turf. And I believe that Robert Mayhew from Boston with the FBI and CIA was then hired by the Hughes organization in Vegas. He worked with Mo Dalitz there. But there's this crime war going on at different levels simultaneously, and 57 was one of the big meetings. Now, just this last week, there was an article in the newspaper, Associated Press story, that the FBI, because of the Abscam story, has broken up the next important meeting of the organized crime that was to take place just this last week. This article, I'm quoting from the San Jose Mercury here, said that the knowledgeable sources said that the FBI had evidence that organized crime bosses were planning recent as last week, to hold a summit meeting similar in importance to the notorious gathering of 60 crime syndicate bosses at Appalachian, New York in 1957. The purpose of the summit was to carve new geographical boundaries for the illicit operations of various mob leaders, such as narcotics, traffic, and extortion. The sources did decline to say where the summit was to take place, but it goes on to say that the inquiry into Bri-Lab, bribery and labor also, may reach every state, reach every state politician, and so forth as it spreads. That's what this article says. Well, that's 50 states to keep track of the politicians and see who's singled out. But I have mentioned on previous tapes the importance of the Appalachian meeting. A new meeting was to be planned this last week and was called off by the breaking of these stories at this time. And the carving up of the narcotics, I've gone into the conflicts of the Middle East traffic through Afghanistan that's been cut off by the Soviet Union. That may be one of the reasons they were going to meet. The Marseille traffic that was coming through and was cut off when the Shah of Iran was removed. This tape isn't about drug traffic. This is about the investigations going on. But these investigations involve Atlantic City and Las Vegas, and the important meeting of deciding the turf has been called off with the story breaking at this time, and that may be why the leak took place, so that they wouldn't all meet and be swept up and arrested and caught. They were observed but not arrested, meeting in the Appalachian in 1957. And when I talk about organized crime, I'm talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry that makes it important that you have police dogs, that you put bars on your windows, that people getting mugged on the streets, cars broken in, private property seized, extortion of politicians, bribing them, blackmailing, murders. Prisons are a crime business. The guards, the building of prisons, the contracts. It costs $10,000 to $20,000 or $30,000 each year for every single prisoner. This is a big business. They could all be attending Harvard University at that price, getting an education and a trade. Organized crime affects the salaries of local police, police department, prison chiefs, judges, courts. It runs this country. It is the biggest thing going. And that's why it's so important to follow the threads, because it affects every one of our lives. The minute you step off the curb, you can become a victim of organized crime. And that's why it's important to follow it. And if you've wondered why your employees or your children or your siblings or your relatives can't think or spell or concentrate, Most of them are victims of some kind of crime of drugs, the crime of infiltrating their minds, polluting them with many chemicals and drugs that make them totally defenseless against the real problems that are going on in this world. It's even hard to get an army together. Great Britain understood that when they poured the narcotics and opium into China to conquer a large landmass, you dope them. And the United States now is literally conquered because good percentage of the people are hooked. If it isn't cocaine or marijuana or opium or heroin, it's caffeine, nicotine, and the byproducts of the crime syndicate, the scotch and the liquor, alcohol, the poisons, and so forth that are in their system. There was another article January 20th in the New York Times on Trenton, New Jersey, and Atlantic City that gambling casinos are changing Atlantic City so fast that they're overwhelmed by their success, and it goes into the huge profits and the skyrocketing land values and the tax increases that are going to dislocate area businesses and retail businesses, that the casinos are creating a situation of plenty of jobs and hotel jobs, but the other people are being moved out, and there's land and water and sewage systems that may not be available, that this is a tremendous growing of an industry, the Atlantic City organized crime. And of course, that's the area that this new abscam gets into, and I'm sure it has to do a lot with the land values and moving certain politicians out in order to get a profit from certain pieces of land that are close to the casinos. That's part of the scandal of the Pendorf examination, the probe of Alan Dorfman, representing the Teamsters Union that has very valuable land in Las Vegas, and Senator Howard Cannon has property on the land that were next to the Teamsters' property, and he was in contact with members of the Teamsters, and Alan Dorfman represents them, who's been indicted for criminal fraud and various charges. Senator Cannon was interested in land investment, housing investment, which again is linked to organized crime, so it rubs off to members of the Senate who live right next door to it, or people who have money and want to see that go up in value instead of depreciate it, and are pushing land schemes at the same time they're working with organized crime. The San Francisco Examiner, February the 9th, has an article about abscam. It's called FBI's Latest Ties, the Mob to Politicians, and it goes on to refer to 50 such sting operations nationwide, focusing the links between organized crime and politicians. And this particular article talks about a payment of $10,000 to Lieutenant Governor Fitzmaurice from Louisiana. We'll go into the Louisiana scandals later on, but the article refers to a $10,000 payment allegedly given to William Clayton of Texas, Speaker of the House. Now, Texas and Louisiana played a big part in the Kennedy assassination, of course, and the Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King assassinations. But then the article goes on to say one source familiar with the inquiry said that Carlos Marcello, long considered Louisiana's mob chief, and who the House Assassination Committee said may have had some role in the killing of President John Kennedy, demonstrated that he had the muscle to instruct groups to buy insurance despite higher prices. Now, Carlos Marcello's name has been brought in to these investigations, and only one newspaper that I have so far has linked him in that article to the assassination of John Kennedy. I will be jumping around from the abscam to the Bri Lab to the Pendorf. So for those of you who listen to these tapes on radio stations, you can write to me and get a, I'll give you the instructions later, get a printed sheet that accompanies these tapes so you can keep a record of these names as the news unfolds. This article, the Examiner, referred to Carlos Marcello, involved in the Bri Lab scandal, as being long considered Louisiana's mob chief, and who the House Assassinations Committee on Assassinations investigating the murder of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King concluded that he may have had some role in the killing of President John Kennedy. Now, just one article about Marcello mentions the fact that he was considered as having played a part in killing the President of the United States. U.S. District Judge Harry Pragerson, a man with a fairly good reputation, although even Earl Warren had one, and we don't know much about them. Harry Pragerson has been removed from a case involving organized crime that was supposed to begin just at this time. It's been put off till March because the top mobsters are involved in that, and Carlos Marcello was working in the on this case, and an FBI informant informed Pragerson that Marcello was going to make compromises and give him a $100,000 art object in order to be easy on the prosecution of these organized crime people. There's five men accused of racketeering, extortion, pornography, and of killing mobster Frank the Bump Bonfanciero in 1977. They're supposed to go before Judge Pragerson, and Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano is the one who is helping with the prosecution. Well, Marcello's name came out again because he wanted to pay and give art objects to Judge Pragerson. So before the case began, or before the objects could be given to see if even Pragerson accepted them, the FBI warned Pragerson, you're going to be contacted by Marcello. They didn't let him. This is what I call selective justice, and this is very important. The FBI is looking into certain people who are criminals on the take, working with organized crime and assassination teams. And the FBI, through their informers, had information that Carlos Marcello and his gang were going to give gifts to Judge Harry Pragerson in return for a light sentence of Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano. So instead of letting the transaction go through, which they did with Senator Williams and other congressmen in New York City, not that they were innocent, they were guilty as hell and probably criminals all of their life, I'm sure, and don't say I'm judging before they're tried. There's so much on these people, I'm sure it would take miles or years of testimony to uncover all of their wheelings and dealings. But the point is that they let certain people get caught in a web without warning them in advance, instead of going to congressmen and saying this is a net. If the FBI has a net, then it should follow through if it has what they call a sting. So if they had information that Carlos Marcello's had people who were going to give favors to Judge Pragerson for Fratriano's accusation of these five mobsters from San Diego, then they should have waited to see if Pragerson kicked them out, like Congressman Pressler did. Senator Pressler said, I don't want any of your merchandise, it's illegal. They should have let Pragerson refuse the offer on his own, and then said, this is an honest judge, and these people were tampering with the case. But instead, they went to Pragerson and said, you're going to be targeted, so you get off the case and get a different judge. How do we know the judge that is being replaced on the trial isn't already in the pay of these people, and Pragerson is moved out because he might have refused the offer? This is a point which I want to make clear, because I make the accusation over and over that selected people are protected and selected people are targeted. And this is a perfect example of the FBI warning a man before he's entrapped. If he's corrupt, he should be removed from office. Pragerson shouldn't be allowed to be a judge in Los Angeles on these cases if he accepts those gifts and gives a light sentence to the defendants. But why is he sliding out of the case, not touching it at all? A new judge is coming in. How do we know that the new judge, as I say, isn't in control? It's that kind of selection. When I talk about Abscam and the entrapment of these people, I don't say they're innocent, but I say they have selectively, in this crime war of the FBI and the Justice Department, chosen who they'll protect and who they will prosecute or go after. And it's that selection that I get mad when I see the whole fabric of corruption and I realize that the arrest and the slapping on the hand is very selective, and most of the time the top bosses go home free. I referred last week to Abscam as Carter Scam or Vatiscam. The Vatican could be involved or drawn in. Jimmy Carter's drug connections in Georgia could be drawn in. But you see, Paul Lazalt from Nevada, who ran the whole Hughes operation and worked for the Summa Corporation, for the Howard Hughes CIA, FBI, Intertel operation, runs Ronald Reagan's campaign, and yet Reagan is never linked or associated with the narcotics gang, the mobsters, organized crime. He goes home free as a candidate. John Conley is never exposed with his links to Montego Bay, the assassination teams, the Nazis, the organized crime people that were in on the killing of Kennedy, and how they worked in Texas when he was the governor or when he was Secretary of the Treasury, the lack of prosecution of crime figures getting off from being deported or put in jail. In other words, Howard Baker is protected of covering up Watergate. He was on Meet the Press talking about a Senate investigation of Abscam. There's issues and answers in Meet the Press that we should have an investigation like Watergate. I'll do another tape. It's been years since I did a radio show on the collusion of Howard Baker with the CIA reporting back to Richard Nixon and covering up the Watergate scandal. So you can bring in the Mormon Mafia, Paul LaSalt, the Hughes, Intertel, the Interpol, the international network can bring down certain areas of the drug war faction, which could include the Georgia, Carter, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, also Miami. I forgot to mention Abscam involves Miami and South Carolina. You can bring them down and still leave Conley, Reagan, and Baker as Mr. Clean, because the Justice Department is doing their selective pushing out, and this is the response of Watergate. This is the baby of Watergate, the response of cleaning out very liberal Democratic members of Congress, and throw in a few maybe that aren't so liberal, but some of them, most of them are doing a pretty good job, and smearing them to crime selectively. Of course, they didn't have to take the bait. They did, but many have been on bigger payoffs. The Iranian payoffs from Zahedi and the Washington payoffs of the Watergate payoffs, Korea Gate, Iranian Gate, all of this is being hushed under while we're getting a different level of petty ante at getting certain people who are in control in Atlantic City and pushing them out of power just as they were in control in Las Vegas until 1966. This will push the certain people in control out of the gaming multi-billion-dollar industry in Atlantic City and bring in a new team to coordinate with the people that took over Vegas in 1966. The groundwork here, I think I have to go at length into, because the very elements that were in Vegas in 66 that came in and cleaned it out when Howard Hughes left in 1970, Intertel have taken over with Resorts International, have really taken over the Atlantic City area now. And while all the other casinos are on a conditional lease and they have to reapply and reappear, Resorts International just got a few months ago a permanent license for the gaming tables there, just as they run since 1970 the tables in Nevada, so that New Jersey and Nevada can be run by Intertel, which is an organization of people, formerly the Justice Department, the FBI, and the CIA, who are now pushing out the old dogs in order to run this huge business that involves billions and billions of dollars. The Justice Department, the FBI, aren't here to find justice. They're here to make it safe for certain factions of the narcotic market that work with the White House on down. And this selection is very important, the way they choose who they're to target and protect. And as I say, going to Judge Harry Pragerson before he's approached with the money isn't fair cricket, because they should have waited to see if he took it, and if he took it, remove him. And now we have to investigate who replaces him and see what their links are to what I call the new team. Now, when I talk about Abscam or Brilab or Pendoff, let me show how they connect in just a person like Carlos Marcello, who is from organized crime from New Orleans, who can affect the judge in Los Angeles, who works all over the United States, and who has been named by the House Select Committee for a possible role in the killing of John Kennedy. David Ferry worked with Carlos Marcello. David Ferry worked with the CIA, with the Greek Orthodox Church, and had a role with Clay Shaw and all of them in the assassination of John Kennedy, and with Lee Harvey Oswald in the New Orleans area. Not only was Marcello named in the Brilab, which had to do with organized crime in the Southwest and the officials in Louisiana, but in the Abscam story, he is linked to a man. Carlos Marcello was constantly fighting Robert Kennedy in terms of trying to stay in the United States as against being deported, because he was a mob boss. And after being named as a possible suspect in the Kennedy murder, he still wants his passports to travel. Since 1953, he's been restricted by the federal government on a possible deportation order because of his links to organized crime. Well, in terms of Abscam, Marcello has been working with Mario T. Noto, who is the Deputy Commissioner of Immigration. And Marcello promised Noto that when he retired from the federal government and immigration, he could come work for Carlos Marcello, the mob boss. And in return, Noto works for Senator Williams, who has been named in the Abscam conflicts in the Labor Department. It is a public relations office in Washington, D.C., called I. Irving Davidson, that's trying to help Marcello travel and get around as a reputable, respectable citizen. And in Washington, D.C., there are links because this Noto, who's been offered a job by Marcello, works on the Senate Labor Committee, of which Senator Williams is chairman, and Williams' wife is part of the professional staff of that committee. If that sounds complicated, I'll say it a little slower, but you do have the tapes to play it over, that Carlos Marcello is linked to the Kennedy assassination, to the attempt to pay off judges in crime cases in Los Angeles, to the Immigration Department, to Washington, D.C. public relations firm, and to Senator Williams, who's now been named in the Abscam with his power in the Immigration Committee to offer help to illegal aliens. I told you this would get complicated. We'll do more on the other side and try to clarify some of these points so that I don't go too fast as we expose what's taking place at the present time.